Hello and welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Just cruising right on through another month. I am here, so I did not win last night's Powerball. Incredibly, no tickets matched all six numbers again, pushing Saturday night's jackpot to around $935 million. There were three tickets that did match all five numbers, good for a cool $1 million. Those were in Texas, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. For millions of Christians around the world, today is Holy Thursday, also known as Maundy Thursday, commemorating the Last Supper of Jesus Christ with the apostles ahead of his crucifixion, and it's the final day of Lent. It's also a big day for baseball fans. Opening day of the 2024 MLB season, 30 of the league's 32 teams are in action today. In the nation's capital, lawmakers are mourning the passing of former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, who died yesterday at the age of 82. Commentary from Joe Lieberman, I believe it was about Joe Biden, just appeared on the Newsmax Daily a week ago or so. We'll talk more about his life coming up in a little bit. President Biden, though, a longtime Senate colleague of former Democrat Joe Lieberman, is not in Washington today. The president and the first lady are in New York City today, where they'll be attending a campaign event, aka fundraiser, at the magnificent Radio City Music Hall, of all places. And to help get rich New Yorkers fork over the funds, Biden is going to be joined by his former boss, President Obama, and former President Bill Clinton. And the media will be absolutely giddy and falling all over themselves there in the media capital of the United States. Meanwhile, about 10, 12 miles away, in a town called Massapequa on Long Island, thousands of NYPD officers, FDNY firefighters, and former President Donald Trump will be attending the wake for 31-year-old NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, killed unnecessarily in the line of duty earlier this week by a career criminal who should have been in jail. Rob Schmidt, host of Rob Schmidt Tonight, spoke with Laura Trump, now co-chair of the RNC.
Your father-in-law is going to attend the wake for Officer Jonathan Diller, murdered by a 34-year-old piece of garbage who had been arrested 21 times, but of course was free as a bird to continue terrorizing New York. It sends a really good message, I think, to the American people that there's a choice that we can make. And you can make it in this next election, and not just by voting Trump, but down ballot. Vote for people that have common sense. Vote for people that say, if you commit a crime, you go to jail. I don't care what your excuse is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, common sense is the operative word. And the reality is we shouldn't have to say that. It should be very basic. But somehow we have allowed these lunatics on the left to send us down this path. And it's terrifying. And I'm so glad to know that my father-in-law is attending this service. I think it's very important. If you think back, Rob, to when he was president, think about the difference in the morale of our law enforcement officers, of our military. People understood that when there was a guy at the top, when the person at the very top had your back, then everybody had your back. Yeah. It is a very different situation right now in the United States of America. Yes, we have a choice. We vote these people into office, whether we're talking about Alvin Bragg, whether we're talking about Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. We have a choice this November. Let's take our country back. Let's make our cities safe. Let's do this for the future of America.
Common sense, yeah.
Laura Trump on Rob Schmidt Tonight. Officer Diller's killer was shot by his partner and is still in the hospital. The driver of the car, who had 14 priors as well, was arrested again yesterday in connection to the shooting. Pennsylvania Congressman Dan Muser, who grew up in Queens, New York, and has ties to the NYPD, appeared on Wednesday's American Agenda.
Joe Biden discussed it in the State of the Union, how he actually had the audacity, the boldness, the foolishness to state how crime is down. Okay, it's not. It's violent crime is up in Philly. They might have had a couple of months in January and February, New York and Chicago, where some types of crime were down. They were picking and choosing. You know, the media, and absolutely not Newsmax, Newsmax lays it out, what's real. is unbelievable, carrying this water for Biden, trying to tell people don't believe the carjackings and the crime you see in the streets. And what you brought up, yes, I was born in Queens. I grew up not too far, a couple of decades earlier than Jonathan Diller. He was brought up in Massapequa. Jonathan, of course, was gunned down by a murderer who had 21 previous arrests and a gun charge less than a year prior. And he was shot down by this individual. Even Mayor Adams said, we have a recidivism problem. Yes, we do, because we have weak prosecutors and we're not tough on crime any longer. And so the tragedy of his death is absolutely heartbreaking. Young man, he went to the same college as me, Maritime College. And my dad, by the way, was NYPD. So, yeah, all of this really, really hits home.
Congressman, I want to bring up another point Katrina just made a few minutes ago. The former President Trump is going to be attending the funeral of Officer Dillard. Joe Biden, he's going to be in New York trying to raise money, just making his pockets even more and more full here. I just wanted to point that out again. That is a stark difference here. But then also hit on the point of the soft on crime. You know, that was the whole narrative for about 3-4 years here in this country. And I think now we're seeing that rear its ugly head. It's come home to roost here. You told criminals for 3 years in this country, we're going to be soft on you. We're not going to prosecute you. And this is the kind of stuff that's happening, Congressman. I think this has got to come to an end.
Public safety is job one of every person in elected office and every person involved in law enforcement. And this administration's so ideological, liberal, social experiment has proven to fail miserably. And in some cases, they're taking some corrective action, and we're going to make them take corrective action by, number one, electing Donald Trump, setting the tone. But also, I've got a prosecution bill and some other measures to force them to prosecute those who are committing these violent crimes. People don't deserve this. They don't deserve it in Chicago. They don't deserve it in New York, any of the big cities. And yet, we have media actually going out of their way trying to state that, oh, it's actually was down for a week in February.
Pennsylvania Congressman Dan Muser on American Agenda with Bob Brooks and Katrina Zisch. So again, President Biden, who hasn't released any official statement on Officer Diller's murder, along with Presidents Obama and Clinton, will be in New York today, yucking it up and having a bunch of fun, raising a whole bunch of money. And the same media that the congressman mentioned right there will be eating it up, as I said earlier. Trump advisor Jason Miller told our Bianca De La Garza that President Biden is selective in his compassion.
Bianca, good to be back with you in studio.
Great to have you. I have to remark on something we watched yesterday unfolding on the show, is that Biden was very quick to come out and make comments about this bridge. Later, there was a press conference. Dems could really gush about him. But it was such a sharp contrast to other tragedies we've seen. You know, a train derailment in East Palestine. It takes him a year to go. President Trump's right there. He has water. Hours later, he's on the ground. It almost seems like there's somewhat of a shift in campaign strategy. You couple that with the fact we know Obama's been talking to Biden a lot. They have this ultra-rich elite New York fundraiser with Obama and Clinton. What do you make of what we're seeing as Biden has been so unsympathetic to, I think, some of the heartland's true needs in times of crisis?
Yeah, really good question. I would hate to think that it's simply because Baltimore is a blue Democratic area and East Palestine is more of a red Republican area, as you point out, in the heartland. I would hate to think it's that crass. I would hate to think it's as crass as Biden is looking at the poll numbers and saying that Americans do not believe that he has strong leadership and he's faltering on that. So now he's going to step up and try to lead in some capacity. But it's not a good look for Joe Biden. And the fact of the matter is, crises are happening in our country every single day, whether it be crime, whether it be at the border. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But Joe Biden seems very selective in where he decides to show some compassion. And by the way, even when he tries to do it, he says that he used to ride the train over the Francis Scott Key Bridge all the time. Well, there are no train tracks over the bridge.
He can't escape the gaffe or sort of inserting himself. And usually it's also he asserts either the fire at his home or his son, Beau. It's always about him.
Bianca De La Garza, host of Newsline at Noon with Trump advisor Jason Miller. One of the people that has to try and clean up the president's gaffes and mistakes is his press secretary, right? Corinne Jean-Pierre. That's her job. But she often makes news herself for comments and her own actions. She is in New York with the president today, so that could be interesting. But did you hear this story that kind of blew up yesterday about Corinne Jean-Pierre being asked in a radio interview if President Biden has dementia?
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
No. You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out very in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people.
People have been watching him, and that's why they're asking the question. Instead of just saying, no, of course not, she went on with every talking point the White House and the Democrats have put out there. Everything. And then...
That's because the president understands that in order to really build an economy that works for everyone, you can't leave anybody behind. You have to build an economy from the bottom up, middle out, and that has been the president's focus. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
And she hung up.
White House Press Sec Corinne Jean-Pierre in a radio interview with WBT Radio in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I used to work until recently. That was, by my choice, I should say, too. That was the day the president and vice president visited Raleigh, North Carolina. The reporter is Mark Garrison, my former coworker and friend, and he said, people asked me to ask you this, so let me just get it out there. Good job, as always, Mark. All right, I said I would get back to the passing of former Connecticut Senator and former Democrat Joe Lieberman. Our Carl Higbee is from Connecticut and spoke with Hoover Institute Senior Fellow Victor Davis Hansen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This, I mean, obviously, he was my senator for a little while in the state of Connecticut, where he, you know, lost the Democratic primary against Ned Lamont. Ned Lamont went on to be the Democratic nominee. And Lieberman came back as an independent, won the general election, which is like bizarre. One of, I think, three independent senators ever, but the only one to do that. But Connecticut's a weird place on this thing. But at the same time, like, Him and Ned Lamont, who's now the governor of Connecticut, they stayed very close on a lot of things. And we don't see that anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's another issue of whether there is still friendship and camaraderie among people who disagree. I think that has something to do with the advent of social media and the internet. Everybody seems to be in their own echo chamber. They're not interacting with people in general. They're looking at their screens or their phones, or they're looking at their blogs. And one of the ways one is rewarded on the internet is to get sensational clicks or to be more virulent than anybody else. So I agree with that. But there's been periods, of course, in American history when we've been even more with more animosity than we have now. Yeah. During the 1950s, after the rise of communism in Eastern Europe, there was a lot of vitriol, and there was a lot of vitriol right before the Civil War. But as far as the parties moving, everybody says the parties have become radicalized. But I would say that whatever you say of the MAGA agenda, and you look at it, and right down the line, a lot of Republicans in the past have supported smaller government, less spending, strong national defense, punish crime, secure the border. But when I look at the left, I don't remember any Democrats saying that there are three biological genders or there's critical race theory or critical legal theory. So I think that they have gone into a direction that is it's unrecognizable both by Democrats and Republicans.
Well, but not just Joe Lieberman, but the Democratic Party that he was first elected to would align closer with Donald Trump on a lot. I mean, look, Donald Trump is not particularly super conservative. He's, I would call, super rational, which a lot of these, even Democrats of like the 90s kind of were. They were. You have Bill Clinton, you have Barack Obama, you have Joe Biden, you have all these who are now far left Democrats who are all, you know, have gone run away from their party. But back in the 90s, they said the same stuff Trump did. And I think Lieberman would probably, I mean, he kind of stayed true to his 90s principles all the way out.
He did. He stayed the same. They moved. And more important was the process. They had certain parameters they operated in. They didn't believe in taking candidates, the Democrats, off the ballot. They didn't agree with using the legal system to indict their opponents. They didn't impeach a president twice in his first term. They didn't do all of that.
That's Victor David Hansen of the Hoover Institute with Carl Higbee. Joe Lieberman had just celebrated his 82nd birthday last month, February 24th. He served as a United States Senator from Connecticut from 1989 to 2013. He was also the first Jewish vice presidential nominee in the year 2000 alongside Al Gore, the highlight of his political career.
I cannot express with words the gratitude that I feel in my heart today as the first Jewish American to be honored to be a major party candidate for the vice presidency.
In his Senate farewell speech, Lieberman criticized what politics had become. All right, be sure to keep up with all the news all day on Newsmax, available on most major cable systems, and make sure you have the new Newsmax Plus. If not, go to NewsmaxPlus.com, get signed up. You can get a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts, Rob Schmidt Tonight, The Balance with Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly Reports, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Wake Up America, and much more with fantastic analysis from people like Governor Mike Huckabee, Carrie Lake, Judge Napolitano, and many others. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Newsmax Daily. Share it with your friends and family. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a blessed, holy Thursday, and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.